Good morning, Oregon, and thank you once again for loading me down and queuing me up. I'm Finn J.D. John, bringing you another daily episode of the Offbeat Oregon History Audio Edition podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. You'll find full details at offbeatoregon.com. Check it out. But first, sit back and relax and let me tell you the story of the Oregon pioneer family whose lives were saved by a bunch of highway robbers. Two armed men who apparently came to rob them instead ended up helping pull them over the pass. This story was first published on February 6, 2010, under the headline, "For Oregon Pioneer Family, Highway Robbers Were Lifesavers." Okay, here we go. There's a reason McKenzie Pass, Highway 242 over the Cascades, from Springfield to Sisters, is closed in wintertime. The pass can be a dangerous place after the snow starts to fly, which can happen pretty much any time after about Labor Day. A century ago, though, the weather was only one of the dangers travelers faced on this pass. Highway robbers were another. Now, these operators patrolled the pass looking for travelers who had gotten stranded by the sudden blizzards and frozen to death. And sometimes, when they encountered travelers who hadn't gotten around to dying yet, they helped the process along. And then, of course, they helped themselves to the now ownerless horses, along with whatever loot they could pack, before shoving the wagons off the roadbank and down into the canyon below. And this was exactly the treatment George Harvey Dyer expected to receive in the fall of 1897. And although it's not clear why he didn't, it's at least a good possibility that he was saved by his six children. Dyer was a Civil War veteran, a Southerner who had been forced to fight for the North after he was captured, so the story goes. Whatever the truth of the story is, it made him unpopular at home in Arkansas after the war, and so he emigrated to Oregon and settled near Woodburn. But in the late 1890s, his wife died, leaving him with six children, three boys and three girls, none of them over 10 years old, and he found out about an opportunity for work in the town of Burns, so Dyer packed his kids in the wagon and set out. He headed south to Springfield, taking advantage of the Willamette Valley's relatively excellent roads, and took the McKenzie Pass route toward Bend and eventually Burns. This almost turned out to be a fatal mistake. It was late in the year, early autumn in fact, and if you've ever been over the pass in the spring or the fall, you know how striking and sudden the change of climate is there. While people are swimming in lakes and frolicking on beaches below, snow is piling up around the D. Wright Observatory. As Dyer got near the summit of the pass, his luck ran out. A blizzard settled in on him. Snow blew, drifted in on the wagon road. His horses were floundering in it. The wagon was sliding behind them, dead weight like a sled with no runners. It didn't look like they'd make it, and they were just a few hundred yards from the top of the pass. That's when the highwaymen showed up. Three of them, on horseback, bristling with weapons. As Dyer's great-grandson tells the story, the old man, pretending not to know what they were up to, looked them straight in the eye and asked for their help pulling the wagon over the pass. And after a long and chilling silence, they tied their lariats to their wagon and helped drag it to the top, which was, as I said, just a few hundred yards away. Once they had gravity on their side going down the other side, the family was home free. Now, why would hardened criminals do that? Well, it seems likely that the prospect of murdering a wagonload of toddlers and elementary school-aged children was more than they were willing to undertake. Or maybe they were just feeling unusually merciful that day. Who knows? In any case, had it not been for the arrival of those three bandits, the entire Dyer family would have frozen to death a few hundred yards short of the pass. Thanks to the robbers, they were able to make it to Burns, where Dyer was able to take advantage of the opportunity he'd heard about and go into business as a casket builder. Well, that's it for today's episode. If you are listening for the first time and want some more information about Offbeat Oregon history, you can get everything at our central website at offbeatoregon.com. The complete catalog, about 185 columns, going back to 2008, plus links out to audio and text feeds on RSS and iTunes, and to the Facebook page and Twitter feed, in case you'd like to join the conversation online. The website's also where you'll find full citations to sources for the story. Sources for today's episode include just one, Ed Dyer, old Mr. Dyer's grandson, an article he published in Cascades East magazine. Our theme music is a track titled Old Man's Waltz by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, written by Carmen Ficarra. Coming to Corvallis, drop me a line. Let's grab a cup of coffee and talk history. I'm at Finn at offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, just plain at offbeatoregon. This podcast is covered under Creative Commons license. Details are at offbeatoregon.com/cc. That's it for today. In tomorrow, in coming attractions, our episode tomorrow, which is Thursday, which is the day on which we do kind of mixing it up stuff, I'm going to read you an article that I wrote about the Willamette Valley's Goose Wars. It's definitely about that time. You've probably, if you are in the Willamette Valley, you've certainly seen and heard the geese. They're back again. We'll talk about the international treaties that make it so difficult to come up with a good solution as they ravage the crops on the farmers' fields. Look for that after about 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. In the meantime, go fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.